Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 307th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I'm the host of this lovely show. Back once again with my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. This is my first chance I gotten to talk to Floyd on mic and on call since he came back from Toronto, from Japan. And of course, if you guys missed it, he had just an incredible episode talking about his trip from Japan. That if you guys missed it, it's our last episode. You should definitely give it a listen. Well-entertaining listen. So, Floyd, man, how you been?
Yeah, this show will be a little different because it'll actually be, you know, the AEW podcast about, you know, AEW.
It would just be Floyd's vacation stills.
Yes, yes.
And this is where I went. This is where I went. No, man, it was such a fun listen. I really enjoyed listening to you guys chat it up about your trip.
Yeah, it was kind of a spare moment thing we decided to do in Japan, and Sam's like, I'm gonna jump on and I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just gonna talk like this is always how it is. I was like,
right.
I was like, let's do it. And had a good time doing the show. I like being there for Wrestle Kingdom again. I'll say this, like I said on the show, if you have a chance, if you have the money, if you have the, you know, situation to go. I never wanted to put pressure on people, but it's one of those things. If you can experience, definitely go experience it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun episode with Sam.
Shouts out to Sam. Of course, yeah. we if you guys don't know, I know he plugged it on the podcast as well, but definitely check out the AEW Match Guide show that he does. It's truly a great listen for people that are trying to get into AEW and not, like, want to actually know where to look, as opposed to just jumping in with us, where we're knee deep in the shit. We're already well into everything AEW and try to keep everybody going on what's happening right now.
Absolutely. That was great. Miss stateside, and you know, I know there's people out there, Japan's the greatest place ever. Hey, that's how you feel. For me and my personality, it was a little nerve-wracking.
Trust me, dude. When you talked about how you were like just like the prototypical American that's going across to Japan, and I'm like, I wanted to be a fly on the wall just to see how you interacted with the locals and just kind of see like that was the one thing I was like, man, if I could just see Floyd like talking to some Japanese guy and just kind of just see how they like respond to his energy, because it's so like, and I love it about you is like you're so like, hey, like your energy is like so.
I'm a lot.
Yeah. Well, you said, like I said, I think you said bulldog, and I love that that was the description, because it's truly what you are, and I just imagine just the culture shock of that, of you being in Japan, not just for you, but for the people that live there.
So, yeah, so the interaction was, I just didn't. I didn't.
I wanted to see it so bad, man.
I didn't know how, so I just didn't. Because it's like I said, it was just like they're very kind of to themselves, quiet. Some people might even call it respectful. Me personally, I like when people talk to me, so it's not, I don't find it more respectful, disrespectful, or whatever.
Right.
But
right,
it was
right.
like how many Japanese people you talk to?
Two. Zero.
Like two. One was at the summit. One was at the summit and then just got introduced to someone. And other than that, it was just like, I would really talk to the people that I came with. And so, like I said, hey, for some people, my friend Dan that went with me, that dude was in heaven. I think he is literally came home and trying to make plans to move there. And, you know, that's perfect. And that is why you go see other cultures. But we already did an episode on this.
Yeah, no, so, I just had to comment on it because I didn't get the chance to talk about it.
But yes, I definitely missed everybody over here. And I was like, my body clock was still kind of on Japan time. And so it was like, Sam is in Australia, so it actually worked for my energy level to, you know, we were on a similar time to do the show.
Yeah, but no, so we're glad to have you back to talk about AEW, especially with everything that took place on AEW Dynamite Maximum Carnage this past Wednesday. We got a lot to get into with that show and just talking about everything AEW. Plus, I mean, we've got our whole nominations for our All Things Elite End of Year Awards that we'll talk about as well. Before we get into the show, guys, we got to do our plug thing. So make sure if you enjoy the show, we appreciate your support. We would love it if you guys download the show every time. Turn automatic downloads on so you make sure you catch every single episode. And if you enjoy it, you can share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. If you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us on podcasting platforms, the support means the world. Rate, review, subscribe, and then follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex. Those guys are the reason this show is around. We love being a part of the Social Suplex Network, and we would appreciate it if you guys support all the other shows that they have on their network. So many great podcasters that this group has. You should give them your support. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-C-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And, of course, sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Link is in the description of the show. Big news of the week is we got some new faces. So it's a new year. We got some new talent, two of which were just announced on this show specifically. Floyd, how did it just feel? I mean, it seemed like we just got this influx of just being like, wow, a lot of moving faces, different changing people and everything like that. And of course, if you're a fan of TNA, one of the team's names, I know my buddy Chad messaged me and he was like, y'all got them? And I'm like, oh yeah. So, I mean, Floyd, you can run down the names.
So the first name is that he debuted while we were on our short little break. Jake Doyle. He was known in Impact as Jake something. The other people that signed, we had heard it broke like a little bit before Dynamite that by Sean Ross Sapp and at the Fightful team that the Rascals were signed. All four of the Rascals are signed to AEW. And they were backstage at Dynamite Maximum Carnage.
Yes.
And, you know, it was like, let's fucking go. So the Rascals are Desmond Xavier. Do you remember his WWE name?
His WWE name was Wesley.
Wesley. So formerly Wesley. Trey Miguel. Zachary Wentz. And signing his first, you know, big contract between AEW and WWE is Myron Reed, and I have been a fan of him in the indies. So Mr. Myron Reed, I'm glad he got his contract showing coming to AEW. I'm a big fan of all four of the Rascals. Got a funny cool story about Zachary Wentz. It was a few years ago. I'd actually have to look on my Twitter, but it was like during COVID, the Bengals were playing, and Wentz is from Ohio, big Bengals fan. He didn't have a way to watch the game. Huh. He needed a Paramount Plus sign-in. Who stepped up?
You gave Suicide your fucking Paramount Plus login.
I gave Zachary Wentz my Paramount Plus login so he could watch the Cincinnati Bengals. Technically, he could be still watching my Paramount Plus. I don't know. So this is like, this is my cool one-off Zachary Wentz story. It was just like, oh, it was COVID. He was like, I have no way to watch the game. And I was like, well, shit, I have NFL Sunday Ticket, always, you know, like, I think I'm at like 10 or 12 years of having NFL Sunday Ticket. So I was watching the game, like, on my NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube DirecTV, and I was like, I'm not even using my Paramount Plus right now. Here you go, fine, sir. And he got to watch the Cincinnati Bengals. And never talked to him again. That was our first conversation. That was our last conversation. So,
well, there you go.
I doubt he even remembers it. If I told him today, he'd be like, he might go like, oh yeah, I do remember getting somebody's credits. He, you know, he doesn't remember it was me, but yeah. So that's my Zachary Wentz story. Yes.
And I just love mentioning that that Zachary Wentz at one time for a very short period portrayed suicide.
Yes.
That to me is like one of the funniest things. A guy that's been portrayed by TJ Perkins, CD, and Frankie Kazarian, and even one night Kazuchika Okada. Zachary Wentz was also suicide one time.
Yeah, baby. You got to do the point. You got to do the pose and point at your head.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember when they changed his name, and I don't forgot what they changed it to.
Is it Nash Carter?
No, I'm talking about Nash Carter was his name, but they changed the name of Suicide because I guess, you know, it's suicide. They were like, oh, that's a bad name.
Yeah, it was, what the fuck was it? Was it Manic?
Yes, it was Manic.
Okay, yeah, that's lame.
Yeah, it was terrible. But yeah, they changed the name because they just didn't, Alias Manic. They didn't want to, you know, offend the world at the time. So it was just like, oh, yeah. But so Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Akira Rajin, Kazuchika Okada, Austin Aries, TJ Perkins.
The fact that he was in for one night, Okada-san, was fucking suicide.
Gresham, one of these things does not look like the other.
No, exactly. That one is like, hey, suicide looks a little different now.
Caleb Conley, Zachary Wentz, and Crazy Steve have all donned the suicide mask. So that's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, they are the definition of the AEW house style.
Oh, no. I mean, like, you can just throw them in. You can imagine them with, like, wrestling Top Flight, wrestling the Young Bucks, wrestling fucking so many groups in AEW, and then just having that type of match style that just gets AEW fans going crazy at live shows. Like, dude, the instant they got announced, it's just like, oh yeah, that just makes so much sense. You know what I mean?
First match of a show, first match of a 0 hour, you throw them out there, let them fucking jump around, do what they do, get the crowd into it. They are going to be hits. I have always been, always wondered why, like, the WWE didn't bring them in, because it's literally like a wrestling boy band, and I'm not talking about in like three count. I'm talking about their four legitimate friends that wrestle a high flying style.
Yeah.
And they're all good looking dudes. I'm like, let's be real. They're all somewhat good looking dudes. So, you know, you get into those things, it just seemed like, okay, I can market this. You know, if you're, you know, you're a wrestling person, you can market this. And now, with, you know, you have Collision, and, you know, a lot of people might see Collision as the B show or whatever. Your roster's so deep, you don't have to have a B show anymore. Like, you literally brought in those four. Then you announced that Hechicero, Mascara Dorada, and Persephone, all from CMLL, are on dual contracts. Hechicero, I pretty much assumed.
Seems weird that you would think that he was already signed.
It felt like he worked in AEW more than he did anywhere else. I am not going to go to Cage Match and find out, but he already felt a part of the family. Mascara Dorado's literally in our match of the years from last year.
Yeah.
So, but Persephone, she's really been like mostly ROH, a little AEW. That feels like the true get out of those three, that, you know, someone that hasn't been on AEW almost like full time already. So I'm really excited about Persephone. She's a badass. Powerhouse badass. She does not lack for confidence at all.
Like, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. And like, if I had to describe her in one word, it'd be confident. I mean, that is carries it. So I love me some Persephone. Eight wrestlers in. We brought eight to AEW. And like I said, it's just like, the variety of the type of people. You got Hester Sarah being a technical wrestler. You got the Rascals rocking that high-flying style. You got Mascara Dorado. He's closer to what the Rascals bring. And you got Persephone, who's a woman powerhouse. So yeah. I just feel like you got to – and then Jake something, the big old Hoss. Davis and Doyle already like a badass tag team. So yep. I it's like, yeah, it's recruiting season. So right now that's the class of 2026. It'll be fun to see who breaks out when it comes to this year and is in the awards, the 2026 awards at the end of the year. But it was, yeah, it's I like it. I don't think there's one questionable signing there. And then at the end of the show, we're not going to discuss it now. Because, you know, it gives away some of the show that we're covering. But we'll announce it at the end of the show. But we're losing someone.
Yes. All so right. We'll get to that once we wrap up everything towards the end with our additional headlines. But we'll lead right now in to AEW Dynamite Maximum Carnage, which took place in Phoenix, Arizona. I love it when they do the...
Shout out to one of the original hosts of this show, Amy Nimity, and her husband, Andy Nimity. They were in the first row. They were on TV all night long.
Woo. Yeah, all right. Let's go.
Yeah.
And plus, too, I mean, dude, we constantly say it. The theater venue is, like, such a cool setup for AEW. Dude, like, I just love the...
Especially when it's sold out. Yeah, especially...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, like, this place was packed. They got everybody in that they could.
Yep. So the show opened up first with a quick little promo of Samoa Joe basically being like, we're going to do this cowboy. All right, well, I'm going to hire me a bounty hunter. And he's got Brian Keith, who's going to go and try to get at Hangman Adam Page. And then the first match of the night was Darby Allin versus Pac, as Darby Allin continues his quest to basically beat every member of the Death Riders and also show how much shit he can do to his body on free TV. Because once again, Darby Allin and his wrestling style, and specifically the bumps that he chooses to take on free television, got himself conversation.
I gotta call HBO Max because they're charging me $9.99 a month, and you just told me it was free.
Ba boom. Free TV in the sense of people that still have cable, but like I know that's not many people. So, but yes, Darby Allin. I mean. Went immediately at Pac as the match started, dive into the outside and knocking Pac over into the crowd. They fought their way through the crowd. Darby did a coffin drop from the stands. It drove me nuts that there was not a spotlight that could follow them all the way through the fans area, because like they did a point where they zoomed out to show Darby. You can't fucking see him because it's so dark and there's not a spotlight that could reach them in the crowd. I was losing my mind. Like I was like, somebody get a light on these guys, because if they're going to do this shit, you kind of need to, shine a light on them so people can see it. But, of course, the one thing that everybody saw was when Pac did an overhead suplex to Darby onto the steel steps, and not flat onto the steel steps, onto the jagged actual steps parts of the steel steps, and the bump looked vicious. It looked like it absolutely sucked. Again, that got people talking about, like, you know, someone needs to save Darby from himself, or like, you know, hey, to turn it down. Like, if you want to do that, do it on pay-per-view. Don't do it on free TV, that kind of thing. Once again, I'm not going to be the guy that tells Darby what to do. My buddy Jared literally keeps telling me, it's like, Austin, you need to tell him to stop. And I'm like, you think he's going to listen to me? Like, what? What makes you think he's going to listen to me? Again, I'm not going to be the guy that says how a wrestler should wrestle.
Darby is one of those people that I think he'd rather be quit. He'd rather quit.
Yeah, if you told him if you told him how to change his style, he would just tell you, then I'm not wrestling.
Yeah, he'd rather quit than change his style.
Correct.
This is one of those things. And it was funny because Meltzer...
Meltzer and the Alvarez. Yeah,
like people aren't talking about his matches being good. They're talking about feeling safety. And I'm just like, I'm not a pearl clutcher. So I don't even think about it. That's how Darby works. I've never been that way. Like, and I don't know, is that an offensive term? I'm just making sure. I'm sorry if
you're
it
fine.
Is.
You're
I'm
fine.
I'm old. I'm sorry. Some things I don't know.
Pearl clutcher is not that bad.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I just after I said it, I was like, am I allowed to say that anymore?
Yes, you are. Yes, okay. It's fine.
Yeah, so I'm not a person that sits there and every time someone takes a nasty bump. I've been watching wrestling for 40-something years. It's like, people take nasty bumps. That's what they do, especially on Darby, especially when I know when it comes to these disgusting things, they're his idea. Right. So who am I?
It's basically like, here's the trade-off.
Yes.
This is what people like. Yeah. This is what the trade-off is. Darby's going to do whatever he wants to do with his spots. He's just probably not going to wrestle past the age of 35.
Yeah, I can't tell him not to take spots, and he can't tell me not to eat bacon. You know what I mean? We're both doing damage to our body. We're just doing it different ways. You get what I mean? So so I'm like...
Which also, I understand that I said he's not wrestling past the age of 35, which basically means he has 2 years left.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do what he does, and this is how he lives, and I'm not... I don't need to defend it because it's his business. You know what
right.
I mean? And like, you don't want to see it, you know? Hey...
And look, man, it's like Darby's still my favorite wrestler on AEW because the thing that I love about Darby is just like how much he's the perfect encapsulation of an underdog character. And you show anybody his stuff and you automatically like you want to see this kid like just find a way to win. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, the only difference with him with like other underdog characters is that he's kind of psycho. He's also the kind of guy that's going to walk around and try to light people on fire and shit. So, you know, like that's the trade-off you kind of get with him is that like, yeah, he gets beat up a ton, but he also kind of likes to, you know, want to kill people sort of thing. It's like, again, I make the joke about it. You want to talk about like something that might be kind of offensive. I understand the people that be like Darby Allin gives off school shooter vibes. And I'm like, listen, I kind of understand what you're saying. Maybe pump the brakes a little bit, but you're not 100% wrong is all I'm saying.
I got to say this about this match. You know my whole thing. Faces have no friends. Well, goddamn, Pac sat a hill and didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, Marina and Claudia are sitting there with the referee knocked out. And literally watched Darby crush Pac's ankle. Why are you there? Like, the booking of this match was very confusing. Like, why
yeah,
are you...
It was kind of funny about the fact of, like, you know, Darby was, like, he got to basically get the advantage of that. And, like, no one came in to, like, try to, like, stop the referee from counting or anything.
Death Riders versus the World. And I was just like, and the Death Riders didn't do anything, and they look like fucking, they look like assholes. They look like, this is your teammate. This dude is taking a chair and trying to break his ankle.
Well, Yuta at least got Scorpion death dropped. He was done.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, but Claudio and Marina is just standing there watching. You have to, like, again, explain this to me. Like, this, that made no
You'd
sense.
You'd have tried. The
It'd be different.
Like, just
yeah. Yeah, it's like, if he dies, he dies. And like, I don't know. It's just like, yeah. I'm like, if you can't beat him.
But at this point,
because it wasn't like Darby was winning fair. Darby was cheating to win.
Yeah. But with that being said, he's beaten every member of the Death Riders, has he?
Yeah.
Not?
Like I said, I am not, like, I felt like that needed to happen. The way it happened was very confusing to me.
Oh, hey, listen, at least it wasn't what happened on Collision the week before,
yes.
Where fucking Dante Martin missed his spot while they were doing the run in the rope shit and fucking led Yuta to do an outside dive to nobody and like wanted to murder Dante Martin while fucking Marina Shafir is bursting out laughing on the outside. If yeah. people missed that on Collision where they tried to do that spot where like, Pac and fucking Yuta are running the ropes and they're supposed to dive to the outside, but Dante's not where he's supposed to be.
I got a funny story about that. So I had gotten back from Japan like at 7 o'clock the night before. I had taken sleep and then I worked. And then Collision came on like during work, after work, I don't remember, right? I was so tired at that point. I thought I was confused about what I was watching. I had to rewind it. I rewinded it three times because I was like, maybe, what am I missing? Because I couldn't, like reconcile
it. What was the decision?
Yes, like, I
what
couldn't.
What was the purpose of that?
Yeah, I couldn't reconcile it in my head. And I was like, about the third time, I really couldn't understand it. So I just, like, I went to bed. And then I watched it in the morning, and I came to the conclusion everybody else did. But I was so tired, I couldn't figure out what happened. That's how bad it was.
Like, it was so funny. Yeah. Like, it was so, like, yes. Honestly, not even joking, it was, like, one of my favorite collision moments in a while.
Yes.
Like, I love that shit. It was so goddamn funny.
Yes, I did not know what was going on. It was great. Like, it's like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. Wrestling
is what it is.
Yeah, I was about to say, wrestling is a live action thing. Sometimes shit's just gonna happen.
Sometimes, man. But yeah, so that was the way we opened up Dynamite. We then moved into the match between Hangman Adam Page and Brian Keith as the Bounty Hunter looked to try to get at Hangman Adam Page. And I thought this was a pretty good match. I thought that this was a good continuation of the opening match, just keeping the action up and keeping things kind of moving in that sense. And I will say, too, in regards to this match, I love the move of Hangman getting overhead suplexed into the corner. That was a great spot. And the moment of Swerve coming in for the save on Big Bill trying to slam Hangman Page was great. He comes in running in with the chain. He starts choking out Big Bill. It's a lovely spot, and that helps set up the finish for Hangman to be able to hit the buckshot lariat, basically, and that's where he goes and gets the pinfall on Brian Keith.
Fundamental problem with this match. I don't want to see Brian Keith and Hangman fight each other. I want them to see them tag up.
Ah, I see. Keep the
it's a Bounty Hunter and the Cowboy. I want them to go do cowboy shit together. I don't want them to fight. I've been waiting on Hangman. Hey, I know I give Hangman a lot of shit, especially on this show. But I've been waiting on my Hangman Bandito and the Bounty Hunter tag team trios, the trios champions, coming out the cowboy shit forever. So when they put them when they put them against each other, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a banger, but this ain't what I want.
Like, more so it'd just be cooler for them to team, just because when they wrestle each other one-on-one, there's no question of who's going to win, which is the only thing that was keeping me from buying into this match, was the fact that, again, like, there was the ending was never in doubt. So it was just kind of like, again, solid enough match. The promos afterwards were very fun because we had Swerve and Hangman get in the ring, talking about MJF, the new AEW World Champion, and goes, basically, if you just so happen to come out victorious with that championship around your waist, Swerve goes, I will be coming after you, and we will be coming after you relentlessly. And his New Year's resolution is to have the AEW Championship around his waist. It's what the fan base wants to see, Swerve back on the top. And that's when Kenny Omega comes out. Big moment seeing him in the ring with Hangman and Swerve. So he comes out, basically, and says, you know, why not come out when there's three of the greatest challengers for the AEW World title are in the ring at the same time? They all have something to prove. He still needs to prove that he's still a god of pro wrestling that fans thought he was. And if he's like, I know it's not easy getting the championship. It's not as easy as snapping EVP's fingers. And he has to win some matches. So he's like, friend or foe, doesn't matter. I'm coming for the world title. Hangman basically goes like, three of us want the belt, but we can't do this together. And if I cross paths with you, Hangman, may the best man win. And he leaves. And Omega has some word for Swerve, who's kind of annoyed by it. And they leave the ring. But then the Don Callis family comes out and says, if you want to get back to the world title, you need to win matches. So face the man who broke Kota Ibushi's leg, Josh Alexander. And he's like, man, I could barely hear you, Uncle Don, over these people. And he's like, you know what? I got some time, so if the people will have it, if TK will have it, if Don will have it, he'll make his record sparkling clean to get back to the world championship. And basically says, when this happens, nah, Kenny, you forgot how this works. Don tells him, he goes, we're doing it next week. And then he's like, well, I got to bid you adieu. Goodbye. Good night. Bang. And Kenny Omega versus Josh Alexander next week.
I figure you skipped over purposely when he called himself daddy.
I didn't need to bring that up.
That happens when daddy wants.
That's something. Nah. We can leave that word alone. You want to talk about offensive.
That is offensive. I was watching Twitter. I was on Twitter and some people. I'm just gonna say people had some interesting reactions to himself calling himself daddy, and it gave me a hearty laugh and made me a little uncomfortable in some cases.
I was just saying, I'm okay without that at this point. You know what I'm saying?
So the Don Callis family is so deep that when I was naming their hit roster, I literally forgot Josh Alexander. Which, for a couple of years together, it was like, when he was on top of TNA, he was clearly one of the best wrestlers in the world. And he's like, oh, he's in the Don Callis family, which is amazing. speaking of this segment, this is definitely a great segment, setting up three contenders for MJF. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping it, and I love that Swerve and Hangman are clearly going after the world title and not trying to come after the tag team belts, because I just think the divisions should be separate, right? Yep. You know, and if they cross over to wrestle one of the teams like the FTRs or any of the other teams, it should be for a specific reason. Both of these dudes want to be the guy. They don't want to be the tag team champion. So, yeah, them being together, I like that part. Like Kenny Omega in it. I like the crowded nature of it. But I heard this week, my boy, fellow Kansas Cityan, Tom Peace. Pestock, a.k.a. Baron Corbin, pushed out the amazing idea of having a pay-per-view where it's Don Callis family versus AEW. And you know why this was...
Oh, so literally do NWO versus WCW?
Yes. You know why this idea was so amazing? Because I literally said it on this show 5 months ago. Tom Pestock, listener of all things Elite. Thank you, Baron Corbin. Represent Kansas City. I said this months ago that they should set up a... Now, I did come up with a new one, and feel free to steal this if anyone from AEW listens to it. Ooh. Forbidden Door is their big show.
Yes.
They should shut up. They should set up, in my opinion, be wrong, you know. I have bad ideas sometimes. I'm good with that. Don Callis family versus the world. So, you have four big singles matches. Of course, if it's MJF or whoever. MJF versus, like, Okada for the world title.
Right.
Kyle Fletcher versus Yota Tsuji for whatever New Japan title, whether it be the world title or global championship. Kazuchika Okada versus whoever the CMLL champion is. Right now, it's Claudio. It wouldn't work, but you want to get it on somebody from CMLL by that time. You know, and then Andrade, you know, you pick one, you know, from whatever company, you know, like, but have the top four matches be four singles matches between the top four guys from the Don Callis family and the top guy from AEW, top guy from CMLL, top guy from New Japan, and then a fourth guy, maybe another guy from AEW or one of the other companies. And that is how you sell Forbidden Door.
There you go.
And then you have whatever tag team they want to have. You have that. And I just like every match should be someone from the Don Callis family versus someone from the three companies. And I just think that is a good selling point for Forbidden Door. I'm going to Forbidden Door anyway. So you ain't selling me, but you might sell someone else, you know, on the show. And like I said, I have terrible ideas. Tony Khan, better at this than me. But, you know, if you want to steal one, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Maybe just a little notion of credit is all he'll need.
Shout out to All Things Elite. You shout out All Things Elite on the show at some point, I'll just die at that point. And then, you know, I'm like, I almost feel like I would retire. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Austin, you got this. Carry on the legacy.
There you go. I got you, brother. I got you. Moving on, Brody King quickly had a moment where he was talking about how he's got Bandido, and he's supporting him as he goes and tries to take on MJF for the world title tonight. Brody King then decides, okay, I'm going to beat the shit out of Jonathan Cruz because he wants to say shit, and squashed him. And then basically he had a promo afterwards saying, I look forward to seeing Bandido become the new AEW world champion. That was the thing that happened. It was a good way to get Brody on the show at least, but you know, that's kind of it.
Yeah. I thought it was setting up something for later. I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
I did. So I worked myself.
Yeah, not so much. That being said, though, Brody just got a comic on his store. I think he posted it on his social media, and it's got the Abolish ICE shit on it, which is badass. So you should definitely support that. Moving forward, we'll go ahead into the four-way tag match with the winner earning a future World Tag Team Championship match with FTR. We had Mark Davis and Jake Doyle of the Don Callis family versus Jet Speed versus Gates of Agony and the Young Bucks. Multi-tag insanity, as you would expect with AEW and their multi-tag matches. And if this is, I mean, again, you're going to get the badass singles match for the world title and the main event. But if you're an AEW fan, there's a very good chance this was probably your favorite match of the night just because of the type of stuff you get to see in these kinds of matches. I mean, just pure on battle. I mean, they had the whole fucking chicken fight spot where they had Jet Speed and the Young Bucks try to get onto the size of Gates and Agony and Mark Davis and trying to get to their head level because they're smaller. But I mean, just the spots of just all the baby faces getting in there, and also too, it's just, I'll admit it too, as a guy who's a hater, you know what I mean, seeing the Young Bucks in their old school gear, like the traditional Cucamonga, Hardy streamer type gear and shit, is it's fun to see. I will fully admit, seeing the Young Bucks like this, it just makes you feel a little bit warm inside as somebody who's watching AEW from jump. Jet Speed looked amazing in this match, as they have had for a while. I love the way of Speedball just bouncing off the Young Bucks and doing his combo moves before getting super kicked in the face, and then Kevin Knight comes flying in out of nowhere. I mean, just again, the amount of spots that were in this match specifically were amazing, but I love the spot, especially of Ricochet coming in to pull the referee out and save the match, but then gets jumped by Jack Perry, who comes flipping in out of nowhere, even though it barely looked like he touched him. But a great catch from the awesome spot of the Hurricane Rana that gets caught by Jake something, and he just throws Speedball to the outside, and that allows Jake Doyle and Mark Davis to get the victory. Another win for the Don Callis family. And a really great introduction, too, for Jake Doyle, Jake something on AEW, I will say. And, yeah, I mean, this is just a fucking fun match. Like, again, these are the types of matches where you can go through spot for spot, and you're going to get, like, 90 things to talk about in the match because everyone's flying all over the place.
Dude, someone's like, give me a TV match, non-title, just what is like a standard, what is a match that represents who AEW as a company is? This match.
Yeah.
You had all these
Well, and also, too, the good, yeah, and the good part, too, is if everyone, it felt like, could win this match.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
A bunch of size and strength. Someone asked me who I wanted to win. Of course, FTR is my team. And I was like, who do I want to win? I was like, all I see is four tag teams, and I see 16 potentially broken legs. Since I do like the Young Bucks, and my friends Candy and Laura are diehard Young Bucks fans. Since I love them, I said, I'm going to root against the Young Bucks. And they were like, why? I was like, I want your friends to be safe. Okay. FTR is on a run right now. And, you know, the Young Bucks seem happy and healthy. And if they go up against the FTR, they will no longer be happy or healthy. So, in this case, guess what? Hey, the Young Bucks did not win, and that was great for them. I'm so happy for them that they didn't win, and they get to stay safe and sound for now. Unfortunately,
I was gonna say, did you want to comment on the whole Davis and Doyle interaction with FTR?
Unfortunately, Davis and Doyle won. All right, two big old dudes, big scary dudes. I affectionately call them in the Discord albino gorillas. If you understand, if you understand the Uncle Ruckus reference from that from the Boondocks, you get it. If you don't, of course, just having fun. But they just two
watch the Boondocks.
Yeah, they just two big old dudes. I love the two big old dudes. Right, I love it. I've been if you've listened to the show, I've been pushing for a big old team like this for a long time. Unfortunately for them, they have four legs. And I don't care how strong you are. Not very strong when you can't walk. So they decide to, FTR comes out to welcome, like, hey, they're a new tag team. You know what? 1-0. 1-0. Woo! You know? 1-0 against the greatest tag team of all time. And FTR, they got a little scuffle. And it was just a welcome to the tag team division. It wasn't nothing big. It was like, welcome to the tag team division. They might have bled out their mouth a little bit. Just to let you know, Cash and Dax, 6'10", 4'10". It don't matter. It don't matter.
Stoke looked fly in that wheelchair.
Yeah. The most gangster. I saw it on Instagram. It was somebody made it him in the wheelchair, yes, the rap album. Yes, and I thought that was freaking amazing. And it's like, you know, and it's great. And I'm sitting there confused because FTR is where they're supposed to be, not on the right side of history, right? And then you got Mark Davis and Doyle, and I'm like, they're in the Nighthouse family. And then I kind of saw this on the Discord, so Suplex Discord, make sure you're join in. It's the links always in the show notes for the Social Suplex Discord. Someone's like, they're in Australia next month. I was like, oh my god, Mark Davis is gonna be a face in Australia. Like, he's from Australia. So it's like immediately in my head, oh, okay, it's FTR versus the Don Callis family in Mark Davis's home of Australia. That's what we're going to do. I don't know who's going to win the match by any means. I have no predictions for right now. You know who I know is going to win the match, FTR, breaking legs and cashing checks. But, yeah, it was, I really liked all of this because I have been hoping for a good bad guy on bad guy thing. We cheat, you cheat, everybody's going to cheat. Who cheats the best, right? I love that. I love that. And, you know, you're going to have speaking things between Stokely and probably the most important non-wrestler in AEW, Don Callis. And, man, they're going to be killing each other. One's bald black, one's bald white. They're going to go at each other. I'm pretty sure they're going to call each other bald at some point. And I'm really looking forward to these segments. I'm actually, as much as I love FTR, as much as they're my favorite tag team, I'm actually looking forward more to the Stokely Don Callis interactions than I am the match.
Yeah, I mean, truly. See, here's the problem now. You said that, and then when you brought up the Boondocks, I just couldn't get. I mean, I could get understand if it was a real brother like T.I. If you lost your hoe to T.I., you're like, hey, that's T.I. Gotcha. You brought up the Boondocks, man. That was all that was going through my gosh.
Dude,
that show's so good.
God, yeah, I love that show so much. So, you know, I was making I throw out my references. And again, if you're in the Social Suplex Discord and you see the name Floyd Johnson Jr. up there, for the most part, unless I'm saying I'm being serious right now, I'm not being serious. You have two choices. You can either interact with me and join me in my silliness, or you can just kind of ignore me and scroll by, which is either way is absolutely.
Too, like Doyle and Davis going at Dax and Cash is going to be a lot of fun to watch. They had an incredible performance in this match. Like,
yeah,
said,
oh, dude, Jake something is like, dude should have been somewhere a long time ago. I know he was in Impact. I don't watch Impact, so I don't count that as somewhere. No disrespect. So he should have been on WWE or AEW. He's too big. He's too good. He's too talented. I love to see it. He, it's like Tony or whoever said, this is what you're going to be as a tag team. And they got the memo, because I get what they're going from the very beginning. And they're just two big thugs. They are the henchmen of the Don Callis family. You need someone taken out, you send them. I dig it. And, you know. But the problem is, they've been a tag team for like 10 seconds.
Correct.
FTR in year 11. Just do the math. Who's going to win?
Yeah, see about that. About that. We then had a quick little promo from Skyflight, who were talking about the Death Riders for Collision. And then we had the Trios match between the Triangle of Madness, Tekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue, facing off against the AEW Women's World Champion, Chris Statlander, and the Women's Tag Champions, the Babes of Wrath, Willow Nightingale, the TBS Champion, and Harley Cameron. All the gold around the best girls. Holy shit, Harley Cameron's braids. I'm obsessed. I'm fucking obsessed. And yeah, this was a really, really strong match. I love the spot of Chris just dropping Harley onto fucking Julia Hart. I thought that spot was really, really fun. Statlander got a great moment where she got to tag in and just go straight up to Tekla and just, you know, really stand up against her and get some good spots in there. And then the other members of the Triangle Madness try to go up against her, but Chris shows off her strength. But Tekla then proceeds to tries to go after Willow, but Chris actually pushes her out of the way, gets speared, and with her being speared, she's then Willow's caught on the outside by the Sisters of Sin. Harley's knocked down, unfortunately, at this point. She gets stomped on by Tekla, and she pins the world champion. A massive win for Tekla, who, I mean, they've been pushing the hell out of her. So much so to the point that my lovely sister Sydney, who is a big Julia Hart fan, she wishes that the Sisters of Sin, specifically Julia, were just more than, you know, backup to Tekla. She wants them to be kind of on the same level as her, and she doesn't feel like right now they are, which I can kind of see, but I mean, like, it's a trio sort of thing. It's not like what's happening with the Babes of Wrath and Chris, where it's like, you know, the tag team has championships around their waist, and Julia and Sky Blue, they don't have anything right now, as opposed to Tekla, who just pinned the world champion. So I kind of get where she's at, but I still think they're doing some really good stuff. But it's a huge win for the Triangle of Madness. Again, really strong match. It was showcasing how good those three are in trios works. And showing how Tekla is going to be challenging Stat for the AEW Women's World Champion. And again, it just means, like, you know, Sisters of Sin going up against Babes of Wrath too. That is absolutely a match that can happen again. So I'm all for that taking place. Really good stuff. I mean, this was like the only stuff we got from the women's wrestlers on this show, which was, like, again, pretty loaded outside of the squash match with Brody King. But in the only women's match of the show, they absolutely killed it.
Yep. And you know, if you watch, like, women's factions, I don't know a lot about Stardom, but from what I understand, there's always, like, the leader, and then everyone else kind of falls behind, and that's what it seems like they're going for
Triangle Madness.
Triangle Madness is like, this is basically a Stardom faction AEW. They'll come along. Everybody will get their time, but right now, get the main belt on Tekla, and then you tag get their titles on them. And Tekla did try to help them win the tag belt. She just failed. So they're like, we're still working on it right now, and I actually like how the sisters are saying, this is how I've always seen wrestling. They're like, well, not always, actually. When I was very much younger, I just wanted my guy to win. But as I've gotten older, and I watch it every week, I just want my people and stuff that matters on TV and shit that matters. Sisters of Sin are always in shit that matters. They're just always there. They're always on TV. They're always represented. And in wrestling, there's only so many belts. even though AEW makes you question that a lot. There's only being so many belts because there's 100.
Right.
But in wrestling, you got, what, 4 hours of TV? And if you I feel like the Sisters of Sin are on Dynamite and Collision every week. I'm like, what more can you really ask for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean don't be don't be a Britt Baker fan.
Yeah, I was going to say about that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. She could be Britt. She could be she could be Anna Jay.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like,
you're not wrong.
Like, there's a lot of people that aren't on TV.
At least they're on TV. You're right. yeah, so we can go ahead and get into the main event of the show, the AEW World Championship match between MJF and Bandido. Holy shit, Bandido's outfit when he came out was fucking goddamn badass. It was so fucking cool. He comes out in Aztec Batman gear. Like, holy shit. Like, as our boy Jared is a big Batman fan, I'm sure he was like, you know what? Props to you. Props to you, Bandido. And yeah, man, I mean, it was, you know, the Ring of Honor World Champion versus the AEW World Champion. And obviously the focus of the Salt of the Earth is to set up for the Salt of the Earth, and that's going at that left arm. So there was a real big focus on that arm through the match, trying to weaken up Bandido. And Bandido really got to get some good stuff in here. It felt like he was able to really showcase some stuff. I mean, like, if there was a wrestler that was, like, I wouldn't even say most improved, because Bandido's always been incredibly good, but, like, in terms of people that broke out, like, I feel like Bandido's definitely one of those guys, because, I mean, the dude exploded in 2025. He was, I mean, in a lot of instances, he might even be a lot of people's wrestler of the year. Bandido wrestled his fucking ass off last year.
And you didn't catch that on my nominations. I accidentally left him off until you just mentioned him, and I was like, I went and just added him on there. And it was I felt like such a dumbass. Because he was. I mean, I saw, like, in person, like, three of the matches that are up for match of the year. So, like, I don't know why, and that's why I added the people to the thing to help me with the noms, because I was like, I know I'm going to forget somebody. Dude, if I would have left Bandito off the nomination, no one would have had to get mad at me, because I would have been mad at myself.
You would have just been mad at yourself.
Like, the dude, he's the only person in the Wrestler of the Year conversation and the Tag Team of the Year conversation.
Genuinely. And Breakout Star. Like I said, three categories, honestly, probably.
Yeah. The dude is... Yeah, exceptional.
I love the moment where MJF made fun of him for the Macarena, and he proceeds to respond back and smack him across the face while doing the Macarena and doing MJF's hip thrust thing.
Yes.
And then MJF trying to run away from Bandido by going over the fucking barricade, and Bandito's like, nah, fuck that, I'm going over that too. Like, oh, it was such a good spot. And... I mean, Max kept up with him, too, the whole way, I will say. Like, Max was wrestling his ass off as well. There's a moment where Bandido hits the 21-plex, and unfortunately, after he hits it, he can't capitalize on it, as he's just feeling the pain of his arm. And with that taking place, MJF then proceeds to... get over and kick out by two, and then immediately grabs that arm that he was working on, locks in the Salt of the Earth, also gets the label lock on. Bryan Danielson was on commentary, so that was great, and there's nowhere for him to go, so the bell gets called, he passes out, MJF retains the title, Max gets on mic after the match, and goes basically like, when they said that Bandido was going to be an AEW world champion, he laughed. But he's like, you know what? After wrestling against you, I can truly say that you're going to be a world champion in AEW someday, which unfortunately means I have to do this. He attacks him with the world title belt and wants to take off his mask. And that's when Brody King comes out and chases him off. He lifts him to his feet, shows him, gets the crowd to cheer for him, and that calls things off. Now, were you, Floyd,
dude,
you thought right
dude,
there was when Brody turned on
I thought
him.
He was going to flip him up, put him in that pile driver thing, and say, you failed me. You failed me. You were supposed to beat
him. And then choke him out over the ropes.
Yeah, you beat him. So you're supposed to be me. But yeah, so, and then after, that's when they announced the comic book and the ice thing. And I was like, okay, you can't turn him heel. Everyone loves this man. So you can't turn him heel.
You will never turn Brody heel for me. That man is a forever face in my heart.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, after that, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, well, I was wrong. I read
Put the shirt back on sale. I missed out on the original sale for the shirt. I want to buy the shirt again.
I did not read the room correctly on this one.
I understand the reasoning for it, though. I truly get it.
Because he was so into you're going to win the title, and then you're going to defend it against me, and you knew he wasn't going to win the title. So it's like a history of wrestling. He turns on him. That's what he's supposed to do. And he didn't. And it is what it is. But it was a great match. This is my reminder to everyone. That man, MJF, can go. This is why he's one of my favorite wrestlers.
He's great.
He could do 6 weeks of never being in the ring and entertain me. Then he can go in and do that. And he can do in the match what he did with Bryan Danielson.
Right.
And he can do the matches.
He's the instance of, like, you know, when wrestlers are special attractions, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They only wrestle, like, once every few months. They got to be able to entertain you outside of the ring for that period of time where they're not wrestling.
Yes. And if you don't like MJF, I get it. I can't fight you on it. Like, everybody has different sensitivities. I have very little. So MJF is right down my alley of what I like in a wrestler. I mean, he, to me, is the modern-day Ric Flair. And it's just like, you know, he just doesn't have to do it 300 days a year. You know what I mean? He builds up to this match, and he makes you really, really, really want the other guy. I'm on the Discord chat, and I'm like, to me, it's no question that Bandito's losing. And you got these people in there. Come on. Pull the trigger, Tony. Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. They want MJF to lose so bad. And I'm like,
so bad.
He's doing his job. I know. Like, oh, personally, this backstage, blah, blah, blah. Cool. You still hate him. So he's doing his job.
He does it well, man. People can't deny it. Like, people give me shit for sticking up for MJF. Like, I was like, dude, I mean, the dude's got everything you want out of a professional wrestler. I just don't know what else you could possibly want out of a guy.
Sometimes I'm in that room and I'm out on that limb alone and I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. And like, I was raised in the 80s, you know, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. The stuff Ric Flair said about certain things just would not fly today, right? And it was just like the stuff MJF says a lot of times don't fly today. That is, to me, what a wrestling bad guy is. And he's the best at it. And it's amazing. And it's like, when I say I love him, I kind of love to hate him. I love that he makes me not want to like him, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and you see, like, I truly believe AEW has two of the best two. If you're going to, like, five heels in wrestling, they have two. And MJF and Don Callis. And look at them. How they heel is completely different. Like, if MJF tried to do Don Callis' stick, it wouldn't work. Don Callis tried to do MJF, it wouldn't work because Don Callis doesn't wrestle. But they both do it so perfectly well that they will make you, you might have kind of like a dude. Like me, I'm all right on Kevin Knight. I'm all right on Jet Speed. But when they go up against the Don Callis family and Don's like, you know, daddy, I'm like, oh, God, I need Jet Speed to win.
Leave the daddy. We can do without the daddy.
Dude, see, and that's how you see you have like a visceral thing for daddy. He used the right word. Do it again. He's daddy from now on because, yeah, you hate it. And it's just like, that's, I don't know. That's what I like in my wrestling. Wrestling's a little simpler for me than it is for a lot of people. Oh, I try to keep it a lot uncomplicated. Hey, he's a bad guy. He does bad guy shit.
What he does. That was AEW Dynamite Maximum Carnage. Real quick, we'll go ahead and talk real quick what we got for Collision coming up on Collision Maximum Carnage. We've got, of course, Andrade El Idolo will be facing Angelico. The Ops are going to be defending their World Trios Championships against Hangman Adam Page and Jet Speed. That's a hell of a fucking match for Collision. FTR is going to be talking, so we get to hear from them. And then we have is that all that's been announced so far? Oh no, we have Jack Perry versus Anthony Bowens. The winner gets a shot at Ricochet's AEW National Championship. Well, I mean, Jack just knocked the fuck out of fucking Ricochet on Dynamite, so I wonder who's winning this match.
Penelope Ford got cleared.
She did?
Yes. Her and the Megasus will be in action. I saw that earlier, and I just thought that was really cool.
God damn.
Congratulations to Penelope for getting cleared. I mean, she was supposed to be in Blood and Guts, and then she was supposed to be in the tag team tournament. I mean, did get to, what was it, Mega Bad? Yeah, we got them.
Yeah.
So that was a creation of Penelope being hurt, but I'm glad one of the very on AEW people, Penelope Ford back in.
Yeah.
I think she is day one, right?
She is. Yeah, because she was there when she was with Kip Sabian.
Yeah, so day one. I'm so glad that she is healthy. Looking forward to the match Saturday. Just wanted to throw that in there.
For sure. And also Joey Janela is who I'm thinking. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And also Eddie Kingston and Ortiz will be teaming up to face the Grizzled Veterans. Yes. And then we got the announcement to Don Cow's family, Kyle Fletcher, El Clone, and Josh Alexander will be facing Sky Flight on a Collision as well. Let's hope Dante Martin remembers where he's supposed to be in this match.
Hey,
I'm never going to let him live that down. It's so goddamn funny. And I only say that just because Dante does so much good flip shit that like I can't make fun of him for it. This I can make fun of him for. That's the only thing it's the only thing I got. Because when you wrestle that good and you can fly around the ring like a crazy person, that's only you like not knowing where you're supposed to be and having Wheeler Yuta pissed off at you. That's the only thing that can make me make fun of you in a sense like that. Because I can't really make fun of you in any other instance, truly, because you're too good at what you do. That's what it is. So, but that's what we got. And of course, next week on Dynamite, we got Josh Alexander going up against Kenny Omega. So
yes.
That's what we got for next week's Dynamite.
And I want to throw this out there. January 24th, Collision is back in its residency in Arlington, Texas. I will be there. So if you see me, make sure you say hi.
There you go. Big time. That is what we got for next week on for Collision this week. Now we are here to announce our December wrestler and match of the month for the month of December. Floyd, would you like to announce
that? Did you agree with those? We didn't talk about it before.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I would say.
December wrestler and match of the month. Wrestler of the month because of basically how he finished at the Continental Classic and his amazing using just wrestling and in-ring performances to go from being the most hated guy to one of the most loved guys. Shout out to Jon Moxley. Like, I kind of wanted to give it to Willow, but Jon Moxley, like, flipped everybody without actually doing anything good. That's pretty remarkable.
And again, like, specifically with the match of the month as well, too. I mean, you can basically, if you were going to put a Continental Classic MVP, weirdly enough, it's Moxley, I think.
Yeah, Jon Moxley versus Kyle Fletcher is our match of the month. So that is your December Wrestler Match of the Month. It's Moxified. Jon Moxley. And Jon Moxley, and then Moxley versus Kyle Fletcher from World's End.
Yeah. So I can't, again, completely agree on my end, so that makes all the sense in the world. And with that being our December wrestler match of the month, it's the end of 2025. We're still only a few weeks into 2026. All Things Elite, we have our end of the year awards. Guys, y'all get to get involved in this. Floyd, do you want to go ahead and share how everyone can get involved in this?
So, yeah, I'll be sharing this on Friday because I'm actually going to read the nominations. And if we missed anybody, I mean, sharing this on after Collision on Saturday night because I'm going to share the nominations on the show. If you think we missed anybody, at the AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at allthingselitepod@gmail.com. at Floyd Johnson Jr., whatever, get to me. Tell me if you thought I missed anybody. Throw it at me. Find a way. Tag me. Whatever you want to find a way to let me know. I'm not really questioning. It's just I went from my brain. Like I said, I left Mendito off. Like, breakout star of the year, and I'm going to move quickly, like, through these, so, because it's a lot of names. Breakout star of the year, we got Jet Speed, new tag team Jet Speed. Gates of Agony, I felt like they really took a step up this year. Debuting Thekla, felt like she was the stuff important all year. Mina Shirakawa, if you look at her stuff with Tony Storm, and she's always in some important part of the year. And then Bandido. I just feel like Bandito's ROH champion, blah, blah, blah. I feel like he did take a step up between the tag teams and the singles, maybe being one of the best wrestlers of the year. I feel like he really might have broke out this year. Those are our nominees. If you think we're missing anybody, they should. Even if you don't think they'll win, you think they should be nominated, go ahead and tag us and let us know. Best gear. Now, best gear. Kenny Omega always has great gear. Swerve Strickland went through a music change this year. Kyle Fletcher in the pink, and he did a lot
and
of
Swerve Strickland too in the goddamn Green Lantern shit. The
Green Lantern shit. Kyle Fletcher, the Young Bucks, always innovating. Bandido, and I will even take his ROH shit. And as he's like, every time he has a big match, he usually has big gear. And then of course Mercedes Moné, the queen of the women's gear in AEW.
You better put my girl Harley on there, because every time she comes out, she looks like $1 million. If you don't put Harley on there, this is not an official list for AEW.
I didn't think it was best gear.
Yes. Best gear, you put anything on her, she looks amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, I put the Harley on there.
I don't care if I'm the only one who votes for her. I want her on there.
ROH MVP. I didn't know. Oh, I did leave off a name. Right. I'm going to replace Dustin Rhodes with Sammy Guevara.
There you go.
Yeah, Sammy Guevara, because he was very much ROH this year. Athena, the goddess all the time. Lee Moriarty, pure champion. I think longest reigning pure champion. Bandido, the world champion. The Vanilla Baby. Vanilla Baby Blake Christian. He was very important. I think he was undefeated through most of the year in ROH. And then Red Velvet, who had a strong year, including becoming the ROH television title, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Best on mic. I forgot. Left Stokely off. Whoa.
You couldn't do that to your boy.
Yes. Yes. Stokely Hathaway. MJF. MVP, Don Callis, Mercedes Moné, Hangman Page, and John Moxley. I think that's a solid list. I think
that's pretty much you're good there.
Yeah, faction of the year, Hurt Syndicate, Don Callis Family, the Death Riders, the Elite, and the Ops.
Yep.
I don't think there's any other faction. Oh, I should add the Demand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You want to add the Triangle of Madness?
I should. And I forgot the Conglomeration.
Boom.
Duh. See, that's what this is for. This is why I'm doing this. You think, oh, this is a nice segment. No, this is so I didn't forget anybody.
This is Floyd making sure he's like, hey, did I miss anybody? And I'm like, I got you.
Yes. Show of the year. This one, I went strictly on cage match ratings for shows of the year.
I think that's fair.
This is the top seven shows rated through cage match of the year. Revolution, and this is not in that order. Revolution 25 with the Hollywood ending. Double or Nothing with Anarchy in the Arena. The Blood and Guts episodes of AEW and Dynamite. AEW All Out 2025. AEW All In Texas. AEW Dynamite 300. And AEW Dynamite 289 Spring Breakthrough. Those are the highest rated shows on cage match. And moment of the year. I actually needed some help with this. Again, I'm reading it, going through quickly. So if you don't catch it, sorry, you know, just the Hollywood ending, but specifically Tony and Mariah May tape fist dipped in glass. And that's what I went with the moment. I had matches in here at first, but I realize I don't want matches. I want the specific moment that it happened. Will Ospreay Spanish fly off the top rope, top of the cage, and I said top of the cafe here, top of the cage on Kyle Fletcher. Hangman beats John Moxley for the AEW Men's World Title. First Women Blood and Guts Babes of Wrath become first AEW Women's Tag Team Champions. Sky Blue, specifically at Blood and Guts, her their face in blood and all that stuff. It's a poster. FTR turns on Adam Copeland. Kyle Fletcher stabbing Dustin Rhodes knees to death, you know, to become the TNT champion. Mox tapping to Kyle O'Reilly, and Dustin Rhodes wins the TNT title at All in Texas. Which then,
if I could add something from the men's Blood and Guts match, I would love to add Kazuchika Okada getting his middle finger stapled.
Yes, gets middle finger stapled in Blood and Guts.
Does that shit made me laugh so goddamn hard.
All right, AEW tag match of the year again, cage match. I took Floyd out of it because it would just be all FTR matches. We had Brodito versus Okada and Takeshita from Wrestle Dream. Young Bucks versus Hangman and Swerve from AEW All in Texas. That would actually be my personal pick. FTR versus Brodito in AEW Full Gear 2025. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay versus Proto Shida at Grand Slam. Jet Speed versus Young Bucks at AEW Dynamite 290. Brodito versus the Young Bucks at AEW Dynamite 305. And the Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express at AEW Wrestle Dream. So, as you can see, FTR versus Kofi Christian is not on the list because
it
wasn't in the highest on cage match. I literally did my best to take me out of it. So, like, I figured the fairest way was to do it on cage match. If you think that match, if you like, hey, this match should be on there, throw me a match on there. I have no problem adding one to the list. I'm just trying not to overwhelm with too many options. Men's match of the year, Will and Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher from Revolution 25. Konosuke Takeshita and Kenny Omega from Revolution 25. John Moxley versus Hangman from All In. Will Ospreay versus Hangman from Double or Nothing. Takeshita versus Ospreay from that Dynamite 289 Spring Breakview. Moxley versus Fletcher at World's End. Fletcher versus Bayley at AEW Dynamite 323. Winner is coming. Omega versus Bayley versus Ricochet at AEW Dynasty. Okada versus Takeshita versus Dorada at AEW All Out 2025. And then Fletcher versus Briscoe at Full Gear 2025. And the women's matches? Okay, now, I don't have as many women's matches as men. The reason being, cage match, the number is like 8, right? This is all I got that was kind of over 8. I was like on page 5. And when you get down to the last match that's listed, it's like, okay, I don't think we had enough, okay? So we had Toni Storm versus Mariah May Hollywood ending. We had Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter at Double or Nothing. We had Athena versus Mercedes at AEW Dynamite 289 Spring Breakthrough. Again, you might see why that show was so high on Match of the Show of the Year.
Yep.
Mercedes Moné versus Willa Nightingale at New Year's Smash. That was, you know, the day before the year ended. So it was literally the last match that could be on there. Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm at All in Texas. Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Moné at AEW Full Gear 2025. And then it's Billy Starks versus Mercedes Moné from AEW Dynamite 285. After that, I was like, that's, you know, I was like, I'm just going to stop.
It's kind of going to be a battle between, I feel like, the top four. Like top four or five.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and if you read that match of the year and you don't know who to pick as the women's wrestler of the year, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
Because there's one name that's in that list, all but one match. Like, she ain't even my favorite wrestler. But when you do that woman's match of the year and then you vote for the women, how do you not vote for her? Do you see what name I'm talking about?
I understand what you're talking about. Yes.
AEW Tag Team of the Year, including trios. Honestly, weren't a lot of great trios teams this year, but I had to put the trios champions, the ops, in there. Then we had Young Bucks, FTR, Jet Speed, you know, the ops, Hurt Syndicate, specifically Lashley and Benjamin, the Gates of Agony, and Brodito. Women's Wrestler of the Year, Mercedes Moné, Willow Nightingale, Timeless Toni Storm, and Chris Statlander. I think that's the solid four. I agree. I don't feel like there's a fifth person with any. And then Men's Wrestler of the Year, Jon Moxley, Hangman Page, Fletcher, Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshita, and Bandido. And I will say this, it's probably what you care about the most on it. Because, yeah, honestly, when I'm looking at it, to me, I have my opinion. It's either Moxley or Bandido. But if you said Hangman, you said Fletcher, you said Ospreay, I wouldn't argue with anybody on this list. The only thing I did notice is Takeshita. Love him. You know, he's, yes, my favorite wrestler in the world. A lot of, he spread out his great matches. Like, if he took all of his great matches from ROH, New Japan, and AEW, and all put them in AEW, there wouldn't be any question. But since a lot of his great matches happened in New Japan, and a lot of his, and then, like, his probably his biggest match of the year happened in ROH, that might keep him from, you know, being higher on a lot of people's list. So, all right, so get at me whatever way you can. Again, I read those to help. I'm going to get out there. Just like last year, every person that enters, as long as you're not in the Social Suplex, you gain an entry into a contest for a drawing. I haven't decided what the prizes is. I will decide before Saturday night. I do know one person is... randomly, the second place person is getting a Konosuke Takeshita towel from New Japan, and I haven't decided what the first person is going to get. It's going to be something cool because I don't know how to do bad things. I just don't. But
it's true.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to that reading of all our nominees. And like I said, J-Ro, I know he's going to hit me up with somebody as always. Sure. But whoever out there, if you get to figure out a way to get to me, give me your nominations. I am going to take the list to the Social Suplex page all throughout tomorrow, try to get a few more names, all to be let out Saturday night right after Collision. It's going to be open for the 16th, because I want to do it at the first show in February. So it'll be open for 2 weeks, and then we'll do it at our first show in February. And I believe we will have Matt the Implications. He does the AEW, God dang it. What is the show called? Why did I blank? I actually listen. I listen to it every week. I really do. It's not like it's just my old brain working against me when I really want it and I want to get the name right. So he does Imp's AEW Adventure. And I had just a brain fart. Imp's AEW Adventure. Great show. 30 minutes. He sums up 45 minutes. He sums up the week in AEW, gives you his thoughts. I think he does it in a very entertaining way. And then we got the AEW Match Guide. And, of course, all the shows on Social Suplex, almost all the shows on Social Suplex, cover AEW in some way. So make sure you're checking all those shows out to get a very rounded look on the world of AEW.
Big time. So we only got a couple more headlines to touch on before we close out the show. Obviously, we hinted towards it with one name being out of AEW. So we'll start with that, Floyd.
Oh, Big Will Powerhouse Hobbs. Contract expired on January 14th, 2026. He was offered a deal with AEW, chose not to resign, and he's going to the WWE.
Most likely.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to, like, literally every major place has reported he's headed to the WWE.
I know. Yeah. On basis here.
So, yeah, so most likely he's going to WWE. I do want to send a sincere shout-out to Will Hobbs. If you listen to the show at all, you know how big of a fan of Will Hobbs I am. He just seems like a genuinely nice guy. Every person I've ever talked to loves him. He's always nice to me. But most importantly, he completely, like, from the time he entered to now, completely changed his physique. Really focused on what he was good at. Had some great moments. TNT champion, Trios champion, member of the Ops. He has been... I even said that it's funny that his contract's up, because over the last year, I feel like they really got who he was as a character and how to book him. I thought he was like one of, this is the, to me, over the last 6 months has been like one of, to a year, has been the best presentation of Hobbs. Now, I always say I wish you the best. And generally, you can kind of hear the condescension in my voice when I say that, because you're leaving my team. But Will Hobbs, yes. I genuinely wish him the best. I genuinely will support him. If he goes to WWE, as soon as the shirt comes out, I'll have the first one out there. I'm still going to rock my big black and Jack shirt anytime I want to.
Oh, sure.
I'm big and black, but I am by no means Jack. but I'm still going to rock that shirt. And one of my favorite moments is when Willow pulled down the straps and had the big black and Jack shirt on. That's my one of my favorite moments in AEW. And yeah, I wish him absolutely the best. Whatever the ceiling people think it is for him, I hope he crashes through. But most importantly, as a human, just hope he's happy where he's at. Yes. And if he comes back to AEW, that'd be great. But if he finds a home in WWE and is successful there, I'll be supporting him and rooting him for him the same way. You know, they said he's going to have to change his WWE. Whatever name that man goes by, I will support, because he is genuinely one of my favorite wrestlers. So shout out to Powerhouse Hobbs.
Shouts out to Powerhouse Hobbs, man. Yeah, I mean, talk about a guy who's just like a monster. And such a great professional wrestler. Wish he would have had the chance to actively be, in conversation for a singles title. But you know what? Like, it is what it is.
He was. I will say this. There's the two ways to think it. You're either the world champion or you're nothing person. And those people exist. And in that case, he was never really, really in the world title picture, right? He had a couple title shots, but nobody expected him to win. But then there's the Floyd way of looking at it. I just want my guy and team and guy on TV and things that matter. Man, was he on TV and things that mattered. That match in Oklahoma.
Won the brass ring?
Yeah, the match in Oklahoma and Tulsa, when it's like, he has one of the spots where he gets curb stomped and whatever through the bricks. I'm like, dude, that was insane. And yeah. So, yeah, he's won that. He won the TNT title. He was the Trios champion. The TNT. Yeah, so when you look at him, he was always used in AEW. So, like I said, that, to me, fumbling, not fumbling, whatever.
No, I get you.
If you find a better role for him in WWE, great. Great, I want the best for him. But that man was on TV. He was used all the time. It's like, you can't say, to me, it's like if you say Ethan Page, if you said AEW fumbled Ethan Page was largely not used in this last year of the company, some mostly on ROH, to becoming NXT champion, now NXT national champion, whatever champion it is. And he's like the longest reigning, and he's a AAA mixed tag team title. If you wanted to say in that case Tony Khan fumbled, cool, because he wasn't using them, and he went on, and he's literally on TV every week. But if people are in similar positions, I don't really understand that. Like I said, I genuinely root for Will Hobbs. Like I said, whatever ceiling people think is on him, I hope he just basically powerhouses through all of them and be great. It's just like the argument of what a fumble is and what a not fumble is.
Trust me, dude. It's tiresome.
That shit's insane. So
yeah. And yeah, again, he was TNT champion when I say like singles champion. Yeah. But you know what? It would have been nice to see him make a push for the world title that was legitimate. But you know what? I do know that if Hobbs gets an opportunity somewhere, he will shine. 1,000% he will shine. Dude. So
yeah, I heard somebody saying about he hadn't proved that he can talk. Watch his promos. That man can talk. He doesn't need to, but he can. He is like, he can talk.
He's convincing. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And then one last piece of news.
Last piece of news, and we're out. Rumor. This is a rumor. It might be substantiated. It might be unsubstantiated, but we're presenting it as unsubstantiated. I saw it online, and it was from, I think WrestlePurist posted it, and I was just like, rumor is that Adam Copeland's last match will be at AEW Wrestle Dynasty in Toronto on October 18th. Again, this is a rumor. It may be complete bullshit. you know, it may be the 19th instead of the 18th. It may be, you know, I just want to make sure you're clear. I just have heard this on, you know, that it's going to be in Toronto at Scotiabank. And I'm like, to the point where, you know, I was looking up ticket prices. Again, may not happen. It's a rumor. That's what rumors are. That's why I wanted to make sure it's clear. Capital R-U-M-O-R. So, yeah, that would be cool if it was that way. If it's not that way, October 18th is like a Sunday, which I even thought was weird because Sunday is they don't usually do Sundays during the NFL season. So generally it would be like the 17th. So I don't know. We will find out. Just kind of giving you a heads up in case you're in the area and thinking about going to Toronto. Wherever the match is, whatever date it is, if that happens this year, I will be there. So I you know, big Cope fan. So I kind of want to see Toronto because last time I was only there like 12 hours or some stupid shit like that. So
Toronto's great, man. Yeah. Toronto's great.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there. And just in case somebody has it, I'm not trying. That is not breaking news. I saw it somewhere else.
It's just a rumor.
It's just a rumor. I want to make sure that's clear.
Yes.
So if that happens, great. If it doesn't happen, I understand.
For sure. But yeah, guys, I think that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite. We appreciate the support as always. If you enjoy the show, we'd appreciate if you continue to support us by sharing us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you like. If you listen to us on Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to us on, rate, review, subscribe, turn automatic downloads on as you download this fine show, and follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex. Those guys are the reason this show is around. We love our work with Social Suplex and their podcast that they have on this network. Check out all the other shows Social Suplex has. You will not be disappointed. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Link is in the description of the show. I will pass things off to my buddy Floyd. I get to turn 29 in less than 24 hours. Let's fucking go. I will pass it off to my buddy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Happy early birthday to my good friend and role model, to all young people, Austin Sumowicz. New year, new things, resolutions, all that kind of stuff. Everything's going on. Just realize January is just a month. It's just a month. You know, you don't have to reset your whole life just because it's the beginning of the year. If you're having good habits, keep the good habits. If you're having bad habits, try to get rid of them. But most importantly, tell your family, tell everyone that you love them, tell your friends. It shouldn't take the time of year to do that. You should always be doing that. But as we go through this year in the wrestling, try to go into it looking at it more positively, focusing on the things you like. You know, try not necessarily ignoring the things you don't like, but really, really when you're trying to determine where your energy is, like, because, you know, you're all the energy you put out in the world. Put that energy towards the shit you like. If you think Willow had an amazing match and you thought MJF said something stupid, how about you focus on the fact that Willow had an amazing match? How about you focus on that? And how about you let all your energy get to that? I know this is a pipe dream because people generally put more energy than anger and then the happiness, but I'm saying just try. Try to put your things into stuff that makes you happy, brings you literally joy, especially in this time that we have. We need to find joy in all the places, so you don't want to bring anything negative to a world that you love. With that, I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.